he'll take over from that point on. He's practicing every day after the service. So praise the Lord. We'll get him going. The rest of us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to give you, I won't get out of verse 1 today, but you're used to that. Now be quiet, Stephen. But there's a, I don't completely understand all what I'm going to tell you today. You know, I don't understand the Trinity, but I know Jesus Christ is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. I don't understand it all. And Paul asked something to this Thessalonian church. As you remember, last week we talked about that Paul didn't have to call himself the Apostle Paul. He just named himself Paul. Because they knew God's gift in his life. This Thessalonian church was different than the Corinthian church and many of the other churches that Paul helped establish because of their pagan backgrounds. But this was an unusual church. And we know Silas and Timothy were there with him, and he put them on equal level with him. Paul was a humble man. But I told you last week, and this is so important for you to understand, that the Thessalonica had a handle on things. And it says in which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that second in is not there. That was added for you to understand it a little better, but in the original Greek language, it's not there. And what it means is that those are part of that preposition in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, making Jesus Christ equal with God. That was unheard of in that day. I mean, I told you, the Corinthian church said Jesus was accursed. Most people couldn't put that together, and not just that day, but today. I think people struggle with that. There's so many religions out there that talk about Jesus Christ as a prophet or a good man or even many of them call him the Son of God, but none of them believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's what separates Christianity, honestly, from all other religions. Is Jesus Christ is God. He had to be God in order to be perfect man to die for the sins of the world. And folks, if you're here and you struggle with that, like I said, I don't completely understand how Jesus Christ could come in a human body to this earth and leave the glories of heaven. But when he did, he set aside his deity, but he didn't lose his deity because Jesus Christ was still God. He could not sin. He was impeccable. He could not make a mistake while he was here. But he became man to experience what we experience. He became man to die for the sins of the world. They understood this. But Paul, in this next phrase, which I couldn't get past this next phrase, he said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace be unto you. That's what caught my attention. Paul told these believers, grace be unto you. For Paul here hits the nail on the head of the greatest need, I believe, of the Christian. It's the grace of Almighty God. God's grace is critical for our Christian growth. For God's grace is the core of our creed, the core of our convictions, the core of our character. It's the epicenter of our expectations. It's the root of our righteousness. It's the foundation of our faith. It's the zenith of our zeal. It's the pinnacle of our power and purity. It's the bloom of the beliefs of the Christian faith is in grace that God gives to us as an almighty God. You see, it's grace that affects every area of the Christian life. And without it, we of all men would be most miserable. It's God's grace. Again, I don't completely understand it, but it's something that God gives to us to make us what we are. And without the grace of God, we could not be what we are. You see, grace affects our past. For it's grace that helps us to overcome the guilt and the gloom that sin has produced. A lot of you carry scars from your previous life before salvation. As you were growing up, some of you, as you were a younger man and younger women, you made some choices, and they were probably poor choices. And you have those scars that follow you. But it's grace that helps you to overcome those battles, overcome those scars of the gloom that sin has produced. But not only does grace help you in the past, grace affects our present. It overpowers our grief and the grind and the glitches of life today. It's what gets us through the hard times. It's what gets us through the sicknesses and the health issues and the financial issues that we face today. What's going on in the world in politics today? It's the grace of God that gets us through. See, it affects our past. But grace affects our present, but grace also affects our future. For it overlooks our goals and our glimpses for the future that God has for us in heaven. That's where we get hope because of the grace of God. That one day we will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father if we're born again. Grace is crucial. We cannot survive spiritually without the grace of God. To live the Christian life without the grace of God would be like trying to catch a feather in a hurricane. It would be impossible to do. So what is this thing we call grace? Again, I don't completely understand it, and I can't explain it completely to you. But I can tell you what grace means. It comes from the Hebrew word of chanan, which means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to show favor. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He stooped to the human race, for he left the glories of heaven, where there were streets of gold, where he fellowshipped with his Father. He had the adoration of the angels and was in the presence of God continually. And he left the glories of heaven to come to a place that's filled with sin and anger and apathy, that he might suffer and die for our sins. Remember, it means to stoop in kindness to an inferior and to show favor. Grace, many use the acrostic as grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's unmerited love and favor to us. Some men go through life degrading, devaluing, and discrediting, and disgracing, and dishonoring God. Others make demands and expect God to do their will. Many feel God owes them something, and he'd better shape up or they're going to ship God out of their lives. We sometimes give God ultimatums, but listen to me, folks. It just shows a lack of people's understanding about who God is and what they are and who they are not. See, God owes us nothing. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. But grace is getting what we don't deserve. God gives us so much that I think we take for granted. And that's why I'm taking the time, because the Apostle Paul prayed, and you'll find out next week, continually. And one of the things I always want to know, what did the Apostle Paul pray for as he prayed for these churches? You know one thing he prayed for? That God would give the Thessalonian church grace. See, Paul knew what was coming. Paul was only in Thessalonica, in Thessalonica for 3 months because the unbelieving Jews rallied against him. Matter of fact, they were so afraid they were going to take the life of Paul that they shipped him out and sent him to Berea. Boy, this church, it wasn't going to be easy times and easy pickings for them. And that's why Paul prayed every day constantly for them to have the grace of God. You see, God owes us nothing, yet he gives to us grace. The nature and character of grace is giving, and it's God's nature to give. He gives of his grace freely because he chooses to give it to us. God bestows his grace not because of what we do, not because of what we are or who we are, but God gives grace because of who God is. He is God. We must clearly understand that God's grace is unearned, undeserved, and unmerited. We are unworthy and unqualified and unentitled to receive it. But we receive His grace because He gives it to us freely. We cannot begin to comprehend or understand what grace is all about, or even why God gives sinners like you and me the time of day, but He does. It's God's grace that gives us serenity and strength and satisfaction. It's God's grace that provides provision for every need that we have. There'll never be a shortage of God's grace. It is absolutely sufficient, the Bible tells us. He supplies all our ministries and all our needs. Our sufficiency is from God. God's grace, it's God's grace that turns tragedy into triumph, fear into faith, worry into work. He turns our burdens into opportunities to build our character. He turns life sinking in sorrow into opportunities to raise above their circumstances with faith and joy. It's grace that changes our outlook to uplook. It's grace that gives peace to parents who've lost a child in death, or to that wife who's now a widow because she lost her husband in death. It's grace that gives us a calm when the doctors tell you you have cancer, leukemia, or some fatal disease. It's God's grace that gives you confidence when you're rejected and resented by the world. It's God's grace that gives you courage when you're dying or being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, "Grace be unto you." I wrote down like seven things real quickly. Seven things that I wanted you to understand about grace. Number one, because of God's grace, we have forgiveness of our sins and are justified before God. It's simply by His grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You are born again today because of the grace of God. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? God didn't have to send His Son. Jesus Christ didn't have to leave the glories of heaven to come down and take the penalty you and I deserve. The Holy Spirit didn't have to leave the fellowship with the Father and with the Son and the angels and come down to indwell and live with us. None of that had to take place. But because of God's grace, we have a forgiveness of sins and we're justified before God. Do you understand what that means? To be justified before God? I know it's a simple way to say it, but it's just as if you had never sinned. Do you realize when you're born again, in the moment you got saved, Jesus Christ buried all your sins, past, present, and future, and you'll never be held accountable before God before the sins that you've committed? We take that for granted. But folks, that's God's grace. That's God's grace. And because of that grace, we have forgiveness of sins and we're justified before God. Because of grace, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ and we're given freedom from the bondage of sin. You're no longer bound to sin. Again, you hear me talk about this. The world says they're free and Christians are bound, but it's just opposite. It's the world that's bound to sin, but it's a born-again believer that's been free to make his own choice. Now, we can choose to sin or we can choose not to sin. We can choose to obey God or we can choose to disobey God. That's the free will of man. But the bottom line is you can choose to do it because of God's grace. You have the freedom to make right choices and do the right things because Jesus Christ brought grace to us. Because of God's grace, this is amazing to me, but we have an entrance into God's presence. It's why the throne is called the throne of grace. Do you realize at any moment, any time you can talk to God? And any moment at any time, God will hear your prayer. There's 7 billion people on this earth. And I don't know how many of those 7 billion are born again, but they can all ask God at the exact same time, and God will hear every single one of them. That's because of the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God we have our sins forgiven and we're justified before God. It's because of His grace that we're saved by faith and have the freedom from the bondage of sin. We're no longer bound to sin. It's because of God's grace that we have an entrance into God's presence. We can go to Him anytime, for any reason, and He'll hear our prayers. You know, God doesn't always answer. Let me stop. God always answers your prayer, but not always like you want it. But God answers your prayer. But see, you know the beauty of God? He can see everything with eternity in mind because He's infinite. And He knows some things you ask for just aren't what's best for you. I really do think sometimes God loves you so much that He gives you sometimes some things you ask for that aren't good for you just because He loves you so much. But God has a perfect plan, a perfect way for you. And it's because of the grace of God. It's God's grace that gives us the energy to serve God and enables us to do a work for Christ. God's grace is adequate, acceptable, ample for all our needs. God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and mercy. Do you understand that, folks? That's God's grace. He doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't owe you anything. But He chooses to meet your needs. He chooses to live with you and never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because He loves you. You know, I know this is a poor illustration, but it's the best I could think of. You know, when I was born with my mom and dad, I wasn't much good to them until I became a slave for them. But as a child, I just took and took and took. And I never gave anything back to them. But you know what? They still love me. Just because I was their child. Now, I'm appreciative that I have the opportunity to give back. But that's God's grace. He owes you nothing. You deserve nothing. But He gives it to you. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I think you have to understand God's grace because it humbles you. It makes you realize that God is everything and I am nothing. Grace. It's God's grace that gives us strength and empowers us to live like Christ and to live for the Savior before a lost and dying world. It's God's grace that gives us the power and desires to do God's will. The will of God will never lead you to a place where the grace of God cannot keep you. It's God's grace. It's God's grace is what teaches us how to live by teaching us what is right. The law tells me I'm a sinner. The law tells me how crooked I am. Then comes along grace and straightens me out. It's grace. I couldn't get past that when I read that verse. Because while Paul said, grace be unto you. He knew the Thessalonian church, the church of Thessalonica, needed to understand God's grace. That's why I wanted to take the time this morning. Us at Faith Baptist Church need to understand the grace of God. I don't understand it completely, but I understand because of it. My sins are forgiven. And I'm justified. I understand that because of grace, I have a freedom from the bondage of sin. It's because of grace that I can approach God every moment of every day. It's because of grace I have the energy to serve God and am able to do His work. It's because of grace that He gives me the strength and empowers me to live like Christ and to live for the Savior. It's because of grace that I have power to do God's will. It's because of grace that when I get on a crooked path, it's grace that brings me back. It's simply God's grace. But notice he said real quickly, and I'm done, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I think what the world longs for today, there's two things, and we'll talk about hope next week. But there's two things I think the world longs for, peace and hope. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll never have peace without grace. Grace comes first. Because you'll never, for by grace are ye saved by faith. You'll never have the peace of God without the grace of God. Because it's the grace of God that we can be saved. It's the grace of God that we have life eternal. It's because of the grace of God we're no longer bound to sin and we have an eternal home that we look forward to. It's because of God's grace. And God doesn't owe it to us. We don't deserve it. But He gives it because He loves us. Boy, those of you who are born again believers today, I want you just to take a look at this thing called grace. Because you are what you are because of the grace of God. That's what Paul said. He said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And you are today what you are. Too many Christians are patting themselves on their back. And they're telling people how wonderful they are and how good they are. Listen, you are only what you are, and there are a lot of good people in this church, in this auditorium right now. But you're only good because of the grace of God. And when you understand the grace of God, I believe that's what gives you the peace of God. See, both grace and peace were needed for the Thessalonian church because they were going to face great persecution from the community. But notice, Paul said, grace be unto you. If a person is to have peace in his life, he needs grace first. For it's grace that gives us the peace of God. If a person is to know the peace of God, he must accept the grace of God. That's salvation in Jesus Christ. For it is the peace of God that helps Christians to cope with conflicts and the commotions and the confusion and the chaos and the catastrophes that we face in this world. Yes, you need the peace of God. But you'll never have the peace of God without the grace of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said here, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace. As I go through our directory and pray for each one of you, I know most of you got prayed for by name. One of the things I asked God to give you was grace. I don't know your needs, all of them. I know Larry has a need because his eye got hit with a bolt. I know Mary's suffering with a blood clot and other. Bill battles with his lungs and his heart. Oh, I know some of the needs of some of you. I know Brother Don is dealing with cancer. So I pray specifically for some of you. But every one of you, I ask God to give you grace. Because you need grace. Grace is what gets us through life. It's grace that gives us peace. It's grace that gives us hope. It's grace. We don't talk about it much. When you pray for somebody, pray for them to have God's grace. When you pray for yourself, don't ask for specific needs. Just pray for grace. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Grace. That's what I believe made the Thessalonian church one of the best churches that Paul established, because they understood God's grace. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like to get into verses 2 and 3, but I'm going to wait till next week. I don't, like I said, I don't completely understand all there is to grace. But I'm a preacher of the gospel today because of God's grace. I'm on my way to heaven today because of God's grace. I know what it is to face death. And I'm alive today because of God's grace. And if you understand God's grace, folks, you can't define it. But it causes you to humble your heart before God and realize that God is great. God is good.